Well, we've been looking over the past several weeks at the giving gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts that He gives to us. And we've already looked at such things as hope and peace and joy and the presence of God. Last week we looked at Emmanuel. When Christ comes, it is God in our presence. And so this morning what I want to do is look at one final gift. We could go on and on, but one final one for this series out of John 14. And it is the gift of the Holy Spirit that Christ gives to us. In John 14, verses 15 through 17, it's the last night. He's already had the Lord's Supper, as we would know it. And He's already told them that He is going to be with the Father. And as they're distraught, and even as He's assuring them, He says these words, John 14, beginning of verse 15, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." That's a shocker right there. For a lot of folks find those two things as opposing truths. That you either love Jesus or you obey Him. But Jesus says you do both. "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you," hence the gift through Christ, "He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Our Father, we know You to be the giver of every good and perfect gift. Help us also to see that the gift of the Holy Spirit is good and perfect for us. And Father, I would pray that You would help us not to be intimidated by thinking of the gift of the Holy Spirit that You've given to us. May You help us to be glad for and long to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. Forgive me, I'm not feeling like my normal self today. I don't know if it's just sinuses or the same sniffles that many of you have this morning in the room. I'll try my best to express coherent thoughts from the pulpit this morning, but you pray for me, I would appreciate that. As you look at your worship, as you look at your sermon notes, it's not the, and I can pick on myself, I guess, it's not the typical alliterated three or four points on your sermon sheet. And no, I don't plan on giving you 13 points for the sermon, although they are listed for you today. What started out as a sermon on the Holy Spirit took a turn, perhaps, on Thursday and Friday, and it will be a different kind of sermon for us today. I'm curious, as we just sort of begin to think about this, I'm curious, it's been a week now, and where are some of your Christmas gifts? Some of them are already in the trash. There was that toy that got destroyed within 2 hours, no longer to be used and no longer returnable. Or you may still be wearing one of your Christmas gifts and you have worn it every single day since the day you received it. Or maybe now, as we're talking about this yet again, the thought comes to you, oh no, there's that one on the closet in the back where I didn't want the kids to find it, and it's still there up on a shelf put away. Or maybe there was that one gift that you tried to hide as quick as you got it. Maybe you have that aunt who has the penchant for crocheting Christmas jammies, And every year you throw it away or put it away as quick as possible, never to think about it again. In some sense, that's sort of what we do with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have seasons of great bursting upon the Holy Spirit and desiring the Holy Spirit, and then after a couple of weeks, we just sort of set it to the side. Or we're in tune with the fact that we are to be regularly filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are pursuing Him as the Father gives Him at the bequest of the Son, moment after moment after moment. Some of you know that the gift of the Holy Spirit's there, but really it's relegated to the back closet shelf of your heart. You forget about Him. Him, not it. Him, the third person of the Godhead. And some of you are just uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, and so you try to hide that. We're Baptists, after all. We're Christians. And Jesus says that it was good for Him to go so that we could have the Holy Spirit. And some of us need to be reminded of this gift that we have from the Son through the Father, the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at the passages and some of the topics that we have, I really want to maybe just leave with you to go and look at some of these topics. But why the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is co-eternal with the Father and the Son, co-equal with, co-powerful, all-knowing. He's for our good, just as the Father and the Son is. So, you know, we like to receive good gifts. Well, let's ponder the good gift of the Holy Spirit this morning. So let's take a look at a few of these. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, when people have it, they jump over chairs. That's what some of you are afraid of. A pastor's going to have us jumping over chairs. You don't know your Bibles, if that's all you think about the Holy Spirit. Although you will see the Holy Spirit can fill us with joy. That is something the Holy Spirit does in us and for us. But primarily, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit leads us to understand that we are sinners. Brings conviction into the world and that we need a Savior. And the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see the person of Jesus. The Holy Spirit sheds the darkness of our hearts for light in Christ. And He leads us to confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And in fact, as you look through the Scriptures, this is the main role of the Spirit, to make much of Jesus. Well, we've said it many times in this place that oftentimes the Holy Spirit is called the shy member of the Trinity. Because He never points to Himself. You will never find what the Holy Spirit records for us ever a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Or a song about the Holy Spirit. It's always two. He's always reflecting us back to the Father and the Son. But the Spirit enables us, empowers us, enlivens us, gives us regeneration to be able to believe that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and then very quickly pushes us, as it were, to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. So the Spirit's doing that. And so if some of you who are perhaps a little bit uneasy about the Holy Spirit, understand you cannot praise the name of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You have needed Him in your life to get you this far. And then the Holy Spirit gives us assurance that we belong to the Son. The Spirit of God communes with our spirit that indeed we are adopted, that we call Father Abba because of the Spirit. And the Spirit dwells in us. Is this not what Jesus says? He will be in you. The Spirit is given to us the moment we believe. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 is very clear about that. The moment you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit was given to us as individuals the moment that we believed. And yet Paul also goes on at the end of that letter, but seek to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that as we move along. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and as He dwells within us, He is to be our motivator. He is to be our ruler and controller. And why would He do that? Maybe this is something you haven't thought of before. The Holy Spirit loves you. Have you thought about that? The Holy Spirit loves you. Well, what do you mean? I mean, the Father loves me, and we get that, and the Son loves me, and I get that. But the Scripture also says here in this passage in Romans that the Spirit loves us. Wants the best for us. This is why he moves us into faith in Christ. This is why he moves us into holiness, which we'll see as we turn the page at the bottom of the page. The Holy Spirit loves us. This is why it's possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. My neighbor's son lies to me. I'll be irritated with him, but he hasn't grieved me. My son lies to me. I'm grieved. Why? Because I have loved him. The Holy Spirit loves us and leads us. In Romans 8:14, the Holy Spirit is our guide in this life. Well, how is he going to lead us? Primarily, the Holy Spirit leads us by the book that he has given to us. He leads us in all truth. The Scripture is truth. He has revealed truth. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about the Spirit leading men of old to give us the truth. So do you want to draw near to the Holy Spirit? You want the Holy Spirit more active in your life? Then at least begin today by reading what the Spirit says as he carried men of old. That is the way the Spirit is most clearly going to be speaking to us, is through the written word that he has given and preserved over the years. And so as we're reading the word, the Spirit is going to be using his word to make us holy. I love the passage there in 2 Corinthians that talks about us being made more and more in the image of the Son by degree each and every day, more and more. Holy Spirit lives within us to make us holy. Radical in Christ-likeness is the role of the Holy Spirit. Why is holiness important? Pastor Ken, it seems to be sort of an old-fashioned term these days for the church. Because the old-fashioned word says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is invested in us to help us to be holy. Do you realize it was the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus into temptations with Satan in the wilderness? Go back and read Luke and read Matthew. Very clearly, the Spirit led Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. But he didn't depart from Christ in those moments. He was with Christ in those moments of temptation. The Holy Spirit works with us against temptation of the evil one. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to resist the evil one. It is the Holy Spirit that is our paraclete, this word helper. In John 14, verse 16, helper, paraclete, can be a counselor, one giving wisdom, but it's also the paraclete is a military term. One who fights on our behalf. And so if Ben and I were paracletes, not a pair of cleats, but paraclete, if we were in the Greek term paraclete, helpers of one another, right, in the way that the Holy Spirit is with us, what would happen is when Ben and I encountered action, when we were fighting, when there was a battle going on, Ben and I would stand back to back with each other and fight off in the blind spot of one another and help protect one another. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't sound goofy to me or weird or extravagant. That sounds needful to me as I live in this world. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Have you ever, if you haven't yet, you will get to that point in your life when all you can do is groan to God. And you might think, well, that's no use. If I can't understand me, how can God understand me? Well, the Holy Spirit interprets our groanings for us, helps us in our praying to the Father. Now think about this. If the Holy Spirit has coexisted eternally with the Father and the Son, they have eternally been in communication. It is quite natural for the Holy Spirit to be in communion with the Father. Therefore, as He lives in us, He makes it quite natural for us, as He fills us and controls us and rules us, makes it quite natural for us to be in prayer with the Father. It's just the outgrowth of the Spirit living in us. I'm needful of the Spirit's activity in that regard. In fact, if I have no desire to pray, that's a questionable concern as to whether or not the Holy Spirit is ruling in your life. Because the Holy Spirit longs to talk with the Father and with the Son, as He did for all eternity past, to help us to pray. And it's in our praying that therefore we are moved into service. I'm thinking there of Acts chapter 4, and they're a gathered prayer, a corporate prayer meeting. Yes, the Spirit does fill an individual for service in the moment, but there are also moments when individuals are gathered seeking the face of God that the Holy Spirit comes. And in that moment, when in this corporate gathered prayer meeting, when the Holy Spirit descends, and they were emboldened then to go and to witness. The Holy Spirit gifts us. He may accentuate the natural wiring of our brains that God has already knitted on us in our mother's womb. But He will take that and do with it far more than we could ever imagine on our own. Or He may give us a brand new gift of talking or of serving. We may, outside of Christ, we may never have wanted to do a nice thing for anybody else in our lives. But it may be that as the Holy Spirit comes into our life as He causes us to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's indwelling in us, and we love the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is working in us, that all of a sudden we can't help but look at people and wonder, what can I do for them? That's called the spiritual gift of helps. And He may give you a radically different gift, all for the glory of Christ. He helps in our witnessing for Christ. This is why we want the Spirit, this is one of the reasons why Jesus gives the Spirit, remember? So that, you know, we will be witnesses in Jerusalem. In just a little while, you will have the Holy Spirit and you'll be witnesses, my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in uttermost parts of the world. The Spirit is given for our unity. So that the Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit that resides in me, ought to commune easily with the Holy Spirit in each of you. We're united. Not in our preferences, but in the magnification of Christ, as the Holy Spirit seeks to do that in each one of us, individually and corporately, as we gather. The Holy Spirit brings peace and joy and hope as it focuses us upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So you go back to these two verses that I've got listed for you here by number 12, and in this idea of peace and joy and hope is a connection to righteousness in Christ Jesus. So that I can't wish for the Holy Spirit to have a personal kumbaya moment outside of Christ or in my sin and still expect to feel the joy of the Lord in my sin. No, the Holy Spirit brings joy and peace and hope as I'm walking righteously before Christ. And then lastly, I've got on your list here that the Holy Spirit. I was surprised with this. I don't think I've ever made this connection before, but these three verses talk about the Holy Spirit longing for the return of Christ. So that if the Holy Spirit is in us and filling us, we too will long for the return of Christ. That would not be a frightful thing. We will long for it. We will see it as a good thing for Christ to come and to receive His church unto Himself. And therefore will be a motivator for us to now live holy. And to live expectantly that today might be the day in which Christ returns. Well, the Holy Spirit. Christ said it is good that He should give us the Holy Spirit. Christ will ask the Father to send the Spirit of truth. And He will dwell in us and be in us. And these 13 are just a partial listing of all that the Holy Spirit does for us. And then about Thursday, Thursday night, Friday morning, was just struck I know a lot about the Holy Spirit. But do I see Him as the gift of the Son through the Father? Without any taking anything away from the Father, and without taking anything from the Son, do I long for the Spirit to fill me as I'm commanded in Scripture? Now, let's take a look at that verse a minute. If you want to, it's in Ephesians 5, verse 18. It might be good for us to take a look at that this morning, so that some of you don't get the wrong idea of what I'm trying to say. I want to be just very clear. So in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 18, what's the context? This is a good thing for us, right? We don't want to just pull a phrase or a verse out of the context. But here, Paul in Ephesians 5, he's in that section of the letter, the second half of the letter, where he's telling the believers how to walk, and he's telling them to walk in a manner worthy of being Christ's. And here in verse 15, chapter 5, verse 18. As he's already told us to make best use of the time, because the days are evil, and it's easy to get caught up in the carnality of the day in which we live, or the foolishness of the day in which we live, the emptiness of the day in which we live. But here in verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine. Now, sometimes we take that portion of the verse out of context. But what's the purpose of that? That is not so much the command as the illustration. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. So what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? I'm going to be addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord with all my heart. Giving thanks always for everything in the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. If I'm filled with the Spirit, this is how I'm going to live. And this is akin to just, I don't know if you've ever seen a drunk or had a family member who's been a drunk, but they are just out of their mind. They cannot control themselves. Why? Because they're being controlled by the alcohol that they have consumed too much of. They are no longer controlling themselves because of the alcohol. And here Paul is saying, be willing. In fact, it's a command. Be filled, be controlled by the Spirit. Now, is any of us off put by the idea of being so filled with the Spirit that we're addressing one another in psalms and hymns, encouraging each other about the truths of the Scriptures? That's not off putting, I hope. Making melody to the Lord with our heart. I was thinking this past week, and some of you know me. I've made the confession that if you start, Naomi will attest to this, if you start three bars of a song from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, I know what it is. That's just all in my heart. And it doesn't. You can say a word in a sentence to me about something else, and I'm already thinking of another song. But am I so filled with the Spirit that everything I'm seeing and hearing strikes off a song to the Lord? Am I filled with the Spirit, or am I filled with the age? Spirit of this age. Giving thanks always. Filled with the Spirit then leads to thanksgiving and thankfulness. So if I'm complaining all the time and I'm bitter all the time and I'm grumbling and something doesn't always live up to my expectations and I'm always glad to point it out, guess what? That's not the result of being filled with the Spirit. My ability to submit to the elders, my ability to submit even to my wife as a sister in Christ, my ability to submit to any one of you comes from my willingness, my obedience to being filled with the Spirit. Jesus says He's giving us the Spirit. We don't have to do anything to earn the Spirit. The Spirit is given to us. Paul makes it very clear at the beginning of this letter, the Spirit is given to us, and we're sealed by the Spirit until the day of Christ's redemption. We are marked as God's, as belonging to God. We are marked as belonging to God's, and nothing can take that seal off. But the Holy Spirit also gives to us in the same letter, be filled with the Spirit. And I'm thinking about the past gifts that I've been so happy for in the previous month. And I'm happy for hope. And I'm happy that Jesus gives us joy. And I'm happy that Jesus gives us love. And I'm happy that Jesus is the presence of God given to me. And am I just as thoughtful about and meditating on and pursuing the gift of the Holy Spirit? If my Father knows how to give only good and perfect gifts, why would I resist? And this is just what I pondered Friday morning and last night and yesterday as I was trying to organize all this disorganization. As we're thinking about resolutions, I want to drop 5 pounds that I'm most likely going to gain right back. I'm going to resolve to keep my room clean. And I'm going to say, I'm going to resolve to wash my wife's car once a month. Not bad things, right? But they're not eternal things. And I'm an eternal being in Christ Jesus. Well, what's my resolution for eternity? And I found myself crying, I want to resolve to be a Spirit-filled man. That my children, when they see me, whether they confess Christ or not, but confess that my Father is a Spirit-filled man. That my wife will not be limited to, he's a good provider. He occasionally knows how to be kind. But that my wife would see me as a Spirit-filled man. Because that's why Jesus gave him to us. Not to play with Him, not to be embarrassed by Him, not for us to control Him, but for Him to control us. I want in the year to come, in the years to come, for the church to see that I am not just a merely good organizer or a straightener of chairs or a detailed person or occasionally preaching well. My prayer is that the congregation sees me as a Spirit-filled man. And maybe that's too bold, but along with that is to be more desirous to be filled, if that makes sense, with the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's where some of you are. I really never gave that much thought, that the Holy Spirit's a gift to us. And I just assumed I have it and... Or have Him, excuse me, and have Him. But are we pursuing all that God intends for us, God the Father intends for us, through by the Son, for the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit? So this week I began looking at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but I must admit this whole page is merely academic. A good concordance, and you could do the same thing with this. But let's not just treat the Holy Spirit as a Christmas gift from Jesus that we put on the shelf or bring out on special occasions or use when no one else is looking. May we be men and women glad for the gift of the Holy Spirit and long to be filled. Pastor Ken, how then do I be filled with the Holy Spirit? One, begin by desiring. By admitting that you're not controlled by Him in your regular conversations and your ways that you deal with employees or with an employer or a co-worker or spouses or children. Admit, I can't say that my conversation would be marked by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all for the glory of God. I got to admit that my conversation is not marked by thankfulness, but rather grumbling. That's where we begin. It's called repentance. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who sees our heart. The Spirit who knows God in His fullness knows our hearts as well. And when the Holy Spirit begins to point Himself or point out our sins to us, embrace that. Be humble and glad again for a Savior who has fully delivered you. I'm with you, Pastor Ken. I want to hear from the Spirit. And I do too, brother. And this is where I'm going to begin. I am too, sister. And this is where you begin. I remember a conversation I had with a student on campus a few years ago. And she approached me after a lecture. And she said, I believe the Spirit says that you have a word for me. That's an awkward. If you've ever had that conversation, that's very awkward. One, wow, what is God saying to her that's not saying to me? And what am I, now I'm under pressure, what do I need to say? And I said, okay, here's my word for you. Read your Bible more. And she was shocked that I knew she didn't read her Bible. I didn't know. I just know that's a good place to begin. You want to hear from the Holy Spirit? This is where we start. Not with fanciful thoughts of others who might speak into you. The Holy Spirit is ready to speak into you. Now, He may also, from time to time, whisper to you, go speak to this person about Jesus. That's a very Holy Spirit kind of thing to do. And you'll find that all in the Scripture, the Holy Spirit telling other people to do that. Let us be people of the Word. Let's be people, if we want to pursue the Holy Spirit, where's the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures? In prayer. I have a hard time praying with myself by myself, Pastor Ken. I understand that. Man, we all get distracted, right? We sit down in that private moment. We think, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to start praying. We get down to the desk and we start to pray. And before we know it, we're mowing the yard. We're changing the oil in the car. We're darning the socks that the kids gave us the night before. So can I make some suggestions? Not that it's perfect, because you can do it with groups too. Find somebody else to pray with. Pray out loud. I find that when I'm having trouble, when I begin to pray out loud, my mind is more focused. I'm not saying that's gospel or scriptural truth. I'm just saying that's experience for me, that when I'm having trouble with all my thoughts going elsewhere, speaking out loud as I'm trying to talk to God helps me to focus on what it is I'm trying to say. Finding another person, praying with one another. I'm not meaning to kick here, but if you're still having trouble, every Wednesday night at 6:30, there's a room full of people doing our best to learn how to pray together. Because we've seen over and over again when God's people gather and they're praying, the Holy Spirit shows up and does mighty things. And we've even seen some of that here on Wednesday night, some. Pastor Ken, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit too. Then And we can't get away from obedience and holiness, right? And the more you look at it, the more we're going to scratch our head and say, you know what? Being filled with the Holy Spirit is just normal biblical Christianity. In a sense, that's right. Now, as Christians are obedient and praying and seeking, miraculous things can happen. But it's not unusual, according to the Holy Spirit, to pursue Him and pray and read and serve and witness. Whom much is been given, much is required. To those who have done well with little, more will be given to them. I'm just confessing to you this morning, I only have one resolution this year. I hope you'll join me. I'll be more and more a Spirit-filled man, using the good gift, yielding to the good gift that Christ has given us. Let's pray. Father, we want to begin by thanking you that you are so good and patient towards us. In this month, when we've been looking at Christ and His birth and the gifts that we have that are just awesome, wonderful gifts. And this morning, as we look at the gift of the Holy Spirit, may we feel no less about Him. We would put no cap on peace with you. We would put no cap on love from you. We would put no cap on joy from you. Let us put no cap on the Holy Spirit as your gift to us. Would you make us to be people who are glad for the Holy Spirit and longing for the Spirit given to us to be at more work in us, an ever-increasing degree, making us more like Christ? May we agree with Scripture that that is a good thing. Father, the one who indwells us yearns our holiness and yearns for our joy and yearns for the Father's love to be better known to us. the one whom you have given yearns to use us as your instruments of grace so that others may know and hear and believe in Jesus as the Savior. And may He have rule over us to loosen our tongues, to employ them for praise and for song and for testimonies and for gospel conversations with any who will hear. The Spirit who lives within us, may He be more fruitful in us in the year to come. More graciousness, more kindness, more long-suffering, more peace. Would you fill us with your Spirit? That our tongues will overflow with thankfulness. May there be griping husbands or griping children or griping bosses so filled with the Spirit that now thankfulness comes out. And encouragement comes out naturally. Would you fill us so much with the Spirit that the admonition to pray without ceasing would not seem so foreign to us? As the Spirit ever engages you in conversation, may we find ourselves just blurting out prayers of thankfulness and help, admitting our weaknesses, needing your strength, and asking for wisdom. Would the Holy Spirit just take control of us so that all these things would be true and more? Would the Holy Spirit in us give us a hunger for the Word He created through men of old? Let us not stiff arm the Spirit's work in the Scriptures recorded. Father, I pray for myself and all those who are joining in with their own anguished and yet excited praying. What else be said of us this year? May it be said of us that we are Spirit-filled men and women, making much of Jesus for the glory of the Father. We plead for this. Confidence. In Jesus' name. Amen.